The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Good morning, you're on the Breakfast Huddle, and looking at the bigger picture, it's quite a muted start across the markets this morning. You're looking at Japan down so far, Korea flat, and Australia pretty much rising ahead of the rest of the markets. So quite a mixed picture following a rather positive session on Wall Street. To help us make sense of what's happening, we've got Margaret Young. She is the market analyst at CMC Markets. Morning, Margaret. How are you doing?
Hi, good morning, Ryan. Good, thank you.
Yeah, that's great to hear. Margaret, tell us what you're taking away from the opening numbers. You're looking at a rather mixed picture, not a lot of momentum after that rather positive session on Wall Street.
Well, yes, Wall Street has finished higher, and it is the fifth consecutive day of rally in the U.S. markets. And I think Asian markets have shown some mixed reaction towards the U.S. News overnight, and we may see a mixed picture for today because the market has rebounded for five consecutive days, and now it's time to take a pause probably. But going forward, I'm cautiously optimistic for the performance in equities in the month of June because the month of May is like so bad, everything was selling down, but now it seems like the negative news has been fully digested and the liquidity is ample, and we have seen signs that capital is flowing back to emerging markets from the safe havens over the past few days. And I think this trend is going to continue if we hear more positive news from the G20 meeting and the fundamental updates. So I think going forward, we may see this technical rebound continue for a while.
Indeed. So we saw gold prices hit a 14-month high last week. And talking about the, I guess, shaky sentiment right now, the Dow Jones Industrial Average at one point was over 220 points in the green before it lost those early gains and close at 80 points higher. So maybe people are starting to take profit right now. I just want to get a take, Margaret, or what the market's thinking about when they look at the latest warning from Donald Trump that he might slap tariffs on China if he doesn't get to meet President Xi Jinping. Is this going to be further downside potentially as we head to the rest of the month when the G20 summit takes place?
Well, I don't think so. I don't think so. Actually, when I saw Donald Trump's Twitter on the threat to impose more tariffs on China if he doesn't meet Mr. Xi at G20 meeting, I think it's a positive news because it shows that the Washington is desperately want to make a deal and they really want to return to the negotiation table rather than allowing this whole thing blow out and run into the uncontrollable kind of status. So they really want to keep the communication channel open, and it means that they want to make China back to resolve the issue via a diplomatic way, which is kind of good. Because in the month of May, we heard a lot of updates, and the thing can really go into nowhere. But now it seems like this trade thing has hurt not only China, but also the U.S., according to a very disappointing job data in the month of May. So that factor has pushed both sides. It caused pain, definitely. It forced both sides to come back to the talks as soon as possible. So the risk is contained in this way.
Yeah, that's a bright side of looking at things,
that's
Margaret.
That's a bright side, yes.
We're checking Margaret Young. She is the market analyst at CMC Markets. Margaret, so taking a look at the Chinese trade numbers that came out yesterday, I just want to get your thoughts how you look at the what you took away from these numbers, because we were expecting rather weak numbers for both exports and imports, but we saw actually exports doing better than expected. It rose 1.1% instead of shrinking. What is the, I guess, takeaway from this?
Well, yes, China's export and import data were mixed. And we saw that exports actually grow marginally 1.1% on a year-on-year basis. But the concern is that the import is falling sharply. It has fallen 8.5% in last month. So that caused the trade balance to increase by $41 billion. And that implementation is to the Southeast Asian countries because China is a net exporter to the U.S., but it's a net importer from Singapore and Korea, Taiwan, all these Asia-Pacific economies. So that means the imports are still very weak and soft from China, and that could cause the recovery in Singapore's manufacturing for longer to find a bottom.
Okay, Margaret. So the other thing that people are looking at very closely is all this talk about a rate cut coming. There's a lot of expectations we might get one after a week of Fed officials saying or hinting that might happen. But Goldman Sachs is one of those voices saying, no, it's not going to happen. What's your take on the rate cut situation?
Well, I think the market has now priced in very high expectation of rate cuts. As you mentioned just now, in the month of July, they are seeing more than 70% chance of a rate cut. But I think the actual outcome will really depend on two factors. The first one is the G20 meeting. Is Trump and Xi going to make a positive announcement on the G20? And another factor is the U.S. second quarter GDP readings. Is that reading coming out to be above or below 2%. So if both scenarios are negative, means the trade talk didn't end up positively and the GDP growth came below 2%, I think the likelihood of a July rate cut is going to be extremely high. However, if the outcome of the two scenarios were positive, then I think the rate cut will be postponed until the end of the year.
Okay, look out for the G20 summit and the latest GDP reading to see where the rate cut is going to be falling. Margaret, just to wrap things up very quickly, now we've got all this talk about rate cuts. What's your outlook for banks? I'm looking at DBS. It started the year at $24. It rose to $28 in April. Then a bit of a downtrend since then. It's almost lost all of its gains in the past few weeks, now at about 24.52. So is this a good time to buy on the dips for banks?
Well, for the banks, I think in a very short term, there could be a continuous technical rebound alongside with the rest of the market. But going forward, I think the upside for Singapore's three banks are pretty limited because of the rate cut expectations, which will curb the bank's NIM growth. And also, U.S. and China trade uncertainties is going to drag down the economic growth of the region, which is already very soft, and we are still in the middle of a cyclical downswing. So the asset quality may be under pressure in the months and quarters to come. So that is going to limit the upside of the banks. However, on the other side, we saw that Singapore banks, especially DBS and OCBC, they have accelerated their shares buyback in the month of May. So SGX has announced a figure yesterday saying that the shares buybacks by China, by Singapore companies has gone up to $123 million in the month of May, which is a nine-month high. It seems like the more the market is dropping, the cheaper the stocks looks like, and the banks will buy more of their shares, which will help to cushion the downside of the share prices. So that's good. Another thing is the dividend yield. For DBS, the current dividend yield is 4.8%, which is higher than some of the REITs. So I think for long-term investors, even you hold it and collect the dividends, it's not a bad deal.
Okay, very interesting point on dividend yield for the banks. Thank you so much for your time this morning, Margaret. All right,
okay,
been checking with Margaret
Ryan.
Young. She is the market analyst at CMC Markets on the Bigger Picture.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.